Crosspoint family, great to see you. Welcome. Always happy to be here singing with you these wonderful songs, speaking of God's deserving of our praise and worship. What a big blessing that is. Let me mention a couple of things here. Really, at 10:30, after this service, right at 10:30 and after the break, right when the Spanish service begins, there's going to be upstairs a little activity where, as you know, Reino de los Niños is an orphanage in Ensenada, Mexico that we collaborate with, we support, and we are always asking them what can they use, what would they like, and they requested some clothing items, and so I'm not sure how many sets, maybe about 40 sets. And what we're going to do today at 10:30, what you're going to do, because I'll be preaching in Spanish here, is anybody who wishes to stay and kind of collaborate with that, kind of help out, we'll meet upstairs 10:30, and you're going to put the packets together, individualized for each child over there. So I think that's a really neat way for you to very easily just get involved and do something that's going to bless these children in that orphanage in Ensenada. You can see David and Joanne for that, Duran, if you have any questions, but they'll be there today at 10:30. If you have time and you're able to do that, we'd like for you to join them. You know, I want to pray for everybody that is ill. I think I've mentioned to you, I'm not sure if I did it here in the Spanish group, but my mom is very ill. She was just recently diagnosed with a degenerative disease, and many, or if not all of you, know her. But I know there's other people that are ill, maybe many of you that are sitting here. And I would probably dare say, because we're human and we live in this fallen, sinful body, that most of us, if not all, have something going on, right? I mean, if you're over, I don't know, over what, I don't know. If you're over 30, I'm pretty sure there's something hurting this morning when you woke up. And so, but there's other people among us that are gravely ill. And so I want to just make a general prayer for that, if you would pray with me. Father in heaven, this morning we're grateful that you would allow us to be here, that as a family we would have the opportunity to gather and lift up our voices to you and recognize your worthiness and your love and your forgiveness towards us. And it's out of that gratitude that we ask for those among us that are ill in our congregation, whether they're here or they're not, if they're bedridden. I know there's people probably watching online right now that aren't able to make it because of these various illnesses. And at the same time, Father, we recognize that these illnesses point to one thing, and that is that we need healing. And the only true healing that we'll ever find is found in your Son, Jesus, our Lord, and what he did for us. He bore our sickness at the cross. And one day we rejoice in the fact that all of us, whether we're hurting right now or not, whether we're ill right now or not, we will experience perfect health for all of eternity because of your love and what you've done for us. So we thank you, but we pray that you would comfort those who are going through difficulties right now physically, that you would comfort them, that you would be with them in a way that they would experience a closeness with you, that even through these illnesses, they would rejoice knowing their sins are forgiven and our home, our eternal home, awaits us in heaven. And in the meantime, I pray for not only them, but their family members and those dealing with them. I ask this in the wonderful and powerful name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I want to direct your attention to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. And I want to do that in order for us to take communion together. And if you didn't get one of these on your way in, if you would raise your hand, somebody will come by, probably Jason will come by and give you one. And as he does that, let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Here the Apostle Paul is writing about our Lord. And anytime you read a verse, you want to know the context around it. And if you read from verse 1 in chapter 1, he's speaking of Jesus' deity. So it's all about our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here in verse 19, he says, "For it pleased the Father that in him," capital H, meaning Jesus, For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. This is amazing. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Amazing. The gospel message. That us sinners that are in enmity, that are against, that are in odds with the holy and perfect God, could be reconciled through the peace that Jesus accomplished through the blood of his cross. And so, you know, we're getting in the Christmas spirit, and we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And at the same time, we recognize that it wasn't just that he was born, which is a miracle, an amazing feat in itself, a feat of love and grace and compassion towards us, but that he was born in order that he would eventually die as a perfect sacrifice for our sins as he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. And that is what we are reminded as we take the bread. If you peel back the first layer, you take the bread, which represents the sinless body of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're grateful. We want to take that together. And this juice represents the body. Sorry, the juice represents the blood, which we read here. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. And it's so important for us to remember that the peace that we get to experience with the holy and perfect God is made possible only because our sins have been paid for with the precious blood of Jesus 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. Let's take that together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we take these elements and we are reminded of your love, as you were willing to give your one and only begotten so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, we are grateful. And we pray that you would help us to be mindful of this wonderful thing that you have done for us. And Lord Jesus, your sacrifice on the cross on our behalf is something that, where we mention it every week, we meditate on it during the week, and yet we realize that we come way short in truly grasping and understanding your love for us, but we're grateful. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you'll continue to reveal that to us, that as we continue to grow spiritually, that we will draw closer to you and have a greater appreciation of what Jesus did for us at the cross. In the meantime, as we continue to grow, we want to express our gratitude and just bless your holy name and ask that you would lead us this morning. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Beloved, this morning, as we pick up the empty containers here, I want to share with you a message entitled, News of Great Joy. News of Great Joy. And what I want to do is I want to read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And this is one of the Christmas stories that are found in the Gospels, Luke chapter 2. And I want to read all 21 verses, just to get a good context and be reminded of this wonderful story. And then what we're going to do is we're going to make some application and explain. And we're going to focus really on a couple of verses, which are verses 10 and 11, the actual message that the angels gave to these shepherds. And we'll draw our 3 points this morning from there. But news of great joy. And here's the main point. God's good news of salvation brings glory and honor to his holy name. His good news of salvation glorifies him. That we would be introduced to these news. And I would love for us to, I don't know what your history is, what your testimony is, but do you remember the first time hearing the gospel message? Maybe some of us grew up in church like I did, and so I don't remember a time when I didn't know about Jesus dying on the cross for my sins. I mean, I remember being in Sunday school before my family went to Mexico when I was at the age of 5. Before then, I already knew about Jesus and how he came into the world. And so I don't remember much before being 4 years old. But so as far as I can remember, as far as my memory is concerned, the name of Jesus has always been there by God's grace. I'm grateful for that. But do you remember when that message was introduced to you, when you heard, when God used somebody to share the message with you? And when you did, and when you understood it, and when you received it, that brought honor and glory to his holy name. And so let's take a look at Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. I'm going to read it, and it says like this: "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, laying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them." Lots of things happening here, but I want to focus, like I said, on verses 10 and 11. And let me read it to you again, and we're going to use that for our message this morning. Verses 10 and 11, let me read it again. It says, "But the angels said to them," this was the actual message for these shepherds from God through these angels, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." This morning, what I want to develop is this idea: the news of great joy are of great joy because they are. So the title is News of Great Joy, and my points are going to be based on the news are of great joy because they are, and 3 points are going to accompany that based on these 2 verses. And as you think about, or you start getting ready for Christmas, and we look forward to this Christmas Eve service, but as you look forward to celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know what your family traditions are. I don't know if you're already looking forward to it. I don't know if you're already stressing out about it or how you go about it. But I think it's a great thing that we would have an opportunity to rejoice with these great news that unto us 2,000 years ago, a Savior was born. Isn't that awesome? I love that. That is the Christmas message. Let's not get caught up on everything else that leaves out Christ during Christmas, because a Savior was born. And I hope that as we sit here and we listen to this message, that all of us can personally say that my Savior was born. My Savior was born. You know, I remember being in 8th grade, for all you eighth graders out there. I see a lot of eighth graders. I remember it was around eighth grade when I know that the information that I had learned even as a child and was in my head got to my heart. And one of the ways that I tend to explain that is that I knew that Jesus had died for the world, for the sins of the world. But it was around eighth grade when I realized I was a wretched sinner and Jesus had died for my sin. For my sin. He hung on that cross and he shed his blood for my sin. 2,000 years before I even had committed my first sin, he had already died for all of my sins. That is humbling. And I remember going through that experience and it changing my life, my perspective on things. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. So let's get right to it. And let me ask you, so news of great joy. This is like a 10-second exercise here. What kind of news have you ever received that brought you great joy? Think about that. Hopefully that puts you in a happy place. What kinds of news have you received that brought you great joy? And maybe some of us lately are thinking like, man, lately there haven't been many. There's been a lot of, and to be honest with you, I'll be honest with you. I was thinking about this during the week, right? Because I was going to ask you this question. It's only fair that I would ask it myself. And to be honest with you, I was getting a little bit of a pity party here. I was thinking like, great news of great joy. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, there's that kind of. But to be honest, I don't know if it was the enemy, if it was just my negativity. I could come up with a lot of negative news lately. And not so many good news that bring, you know, rejoicing in my life. And maybe you're there too. And praise God that we can always come back, no matter our circumstance or how many bad news you've received in a row. Maybe you got a streak going. You know, the last 10 pieces of news have all been negative. I don't know. But we can always come back to the greatest news ever that any of us could ever receive. And that is that 2,000 years ago, a Savior, my Savior, was born. What amazing reality. And that trumps over any negative news that you received. And that's not to put anybody down or any, you know, I don't want to minimize your negative state or your negative news that you receive. But, you know, when we're in Christ as new creatures, no matter the news that we get, these news just trump over everything else. We can always come back to the fact that the gospel is true, and that my Savior was born, that I am in Christ because of what he did for me. So hopefully you did find, and I did find lots of good news, by the way, and I wanted to share this with you. I don't mean to sound like all spiritual and stuff, but I haven't won the lotto or anything yet, and I don't play it, so I don't expect to win anytime soon. But to be honest with you, and I want to share this with you, what I came up with is, I have received great news. One of the greatest news that I tend to receive, and I'm so blessed because I tend to receive them periodically. When somebody comes up to me and says, Mike, I know that God has done a work in my life, and I want to be baptized. I think for a pastor, that's probably the greatest news that I could experience here on earth. When somebody says, you know, maybe I've been at church for a long time, but I finally understand what God did for me, and I've received his forgiveness, and I'm a new person. I want to get baptized. And I get to experience that. Because when somebody says that to me, I know it's God doing his work. And I know that God allows us to be a small part of that. And to me, that's some of the greatest news that I receive. And I'm grateful that here at Crosspoint, we've been receiving those types of news frequently. And I look forward to seeing God continue to deliver those types of news to our congregation. So I know I'm being a little selfish in that because that's really God's work, but when I hear those news, that to me is a cause of great, great joy in my life. So the news are of great joy. So these news that this angel delivered to these shepherds, these humble, lowly people, are of great joy because they are, point number one, because they are from God. These news that they delivered to the shepherds are news that they delivered on behalf of God. And I think that's really important, beloved, because God is always speaking. God is always communicating with you. God is always sending you messages. And I mean, you have the word of God. You literally can open the word anytime and have God speak to you. And we shouldn't neglect this wonderful blessing of having God's holy, perfect, written word for us to go back to anytime. But these are news from God. And in the context of what's happening here, these are really special news, because I don't know if you realize this or if you've paid attention to this, but when the angel spoke to Mary, when the angel spoke to the shepherds, when the angel spoke to Joseph, when the angel spoke to Zacharias and Elizabeth, that actually broke what's known as a 400-year silent period. 400 years. You know, I always tend to use this as an illustration for context, but the United States is not even 250 years old. There was 400 years where the nation of Israel did not get any direct revelation from God. No angel speaking that we are aware of. God was certainly speaking and doing work during those 400 years. But at the end of the Old Testament, all the way to the beginning of the New Testament, there was about a 400-year silent period. And all of that is broken by God beginning to speak to his nation through angels, through Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, shepherds, all these lowly people. And for the nation of Israel, who was expecting their Messiah, their Christ, it was great news that God was once again kind of opening those lines of communication this way. So the fact that this message was coming from God is amazing. And I would love for us to meditate on the fact of, one, God is always speaking. And beloved, God is always speaking to you. And I don't know what means he uses. And sometimes he uses some means that are quite creative. I know for me, beloved, unfortunately, I tend to be closest to God and most on my knees when I'm in trouble. When I'm going through some kind of difficulty, or when a loved one of mine is going through some kind of difficulty and I'm broken down and I'm reminded of some of the basic things in life, and I find myself closest to God. And of course, we tend to resent that. And we don't realize that many times this is God speaking to us. This is God getting our attention and saying, hey, you important and busy one, remember me. So I don't know how God has been speaking to you. Sometimes it's through people that he places around your life. And sometimes it's circumstances. But listen, pay attention. He's talking to you all the time. And that makes it great news. You know, this gospel message that we believe, that we've accepted, and that we try to communicate to others, it's not your message. It's not the pastor's message. It's not the church's message. It's God's message. So when we talk about Christmas Eve service, inviting people, you know, take those invitations. Especially if you're the person that says, like, oh, I don't even know if I'm going to have 10 people to pass them to. Take the invitations, take that step of faith, get on your knees and say, Lord, I don't even know who I'm going to give these to. Will you show me? And I am certain that God will send people your way. If our attitude is right and we're close to the Lord and praying for his will to be done in our lives, he will send people to you. And don't be surprised. Somebody says, like, hey, do you have something for me? Like, oh, no. Oh, maybe this? We just got to get on that mentality that God is always speaking to us. God is always at work, and we get to be part of that. We just got to pay attention and be willing to do that. So the fact that he is speaking to us. The news are of great joy because they are from God. Hebrews 1:1 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds. So here the author of Hebrews saying, like, you know, God is always speaking. He's always been speaking and communicating. And in fact, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it's explained that he created all this through the power of his word. God has always been speaking. Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits? Talking about the angels sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. So I wanted to share this verse because angels are ministering spirits. They're messengers. Literally, they are messengers. And the question is, where are they getting their message? And that is, they get their messages from God. And they're just relaying God's message to the people. That's what we see every time here. Love reading the Old Testament, reading Ezekiel right now, and over, just highlighting every time where it says, and God said to Ezekiel, and God said to Israel, and God said to his people, and God said. We take that for granted, but God is always saying, God is always speaking. But we need to understand that God is always speaking to us. We need to internalize and personalize that. Whenever you feel distant from God, it's not that he's going through something. It's not that he's, you know, distracted. It's not that he is busy. It's us. He's always communicating. He's always speaking to us. Listen to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Just talking about the fact that these news are of great joy, are of great joy because they are from God. Luke 1:26 through 28 says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God. Listen to that. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. When Mary received this message, it was through an angel, but the message was from God. And she understood that. She says, let it be done according to what you've said. Meaning, what you've said is God's message to me, and I'm going to receive that and submit to that. I would dare to say that many times we miss God speaking to us because we're not spiritually minded. And so when something happens, we don't ask ourselves, what is God telling me through this? I'm telling you, the few times that I've done that, I've seen God work in my life in ways that I'm truly grateful for. I'll tell you a quick story because I told it yesterday. So it's fresh on my mind. But oh boy, around 10 years ago, I was teaching, before I was teaching at the elementary. When I was in high school, I knew I wanted to be an elementary school teacher, so went, got my degree, started teaching, really enjoyed it, did that for 8 years at the elementary level. And then I started feeling this tug in my heart, like I enjoy teaching, but I want to teach the word, I want to teach the Bible. So I left teaching, got a year off from the district, and I went to Talbot and started studying, started a business, kind of got overwhelmed, came back to teaching a year later, and they placed me at the intermediate level. I was like, I'm an elementary school teacher. What am I doing at the intermediate? And to be honest with you, I didn't really enjoy it. They were trying fifth grade in the intermediate. It wasn't really working out. And I thought, well, let's finish off this year, and then I'll put some transfer papers for next year and go back to my comfortable, you know, what I already know, what I enjoy doing at the elementary level. And the year comes by, I even spoke to the principal, said, hey, I just want to let you know, I turned in my paperwork for transfer. It's not you, it's not anything. It's just, you know, I want to go back to the elementary. He's like, okay, well, thanks for your service. And then it was rejected. How dare they? They're like, sorry, no room at the elementary. We're kind of pushing teachers to the intermediate. And I was like, okay, so I'm stuck here? And I got to be honest with you, beloved, I have been spoiled by God. I mean that. I have been completely spoiled, protected, and blessed by God in a way that's almost ridiculous. I sometimes feel guilty. Some of you can identify with that. Some of you are like, that's not me. And so when that didn't happen, I'm like, what? Don't they know who I am? I'm just kidding. And I thought, okay. And I vividly remember having this conversation with the Lord and said, Lord, I don't want to be here. And I'm kind of stuck here. That's weird. I don't like the idea of feeling stuck. I'll tell you that right now. And I'll tell you, you know, if you feel like you're stuck anywhere, you gotta go to the Lord and find out, because that's not, God doesn't want you to feel like you're stuck anywhere. And I'm feeling stuck. I'm thinking like, wow, that's not right. Never really felt that before. And then I said, Lord, this is not where I want to be, but do you have me here for a reason? Wow, I wonder. And so I prayed. I said, Lord, if there is something here for me to do that I'm not aware of, then let's do it. Kind of something like that. Those are my very spiritual prayers. And sure enough, long story short, it is through the intermediate school at in the city of Bell Gardens that I got the chance to coach a team, invite my players to church, and many of them have stayed with us. You know them. And just kind of through that whole experience that was out of really my, it wasn't my choice to stay at the intermediate, but kind of just telling the Lord, I don't want to be here, but if you have me here, is there a reason? And show me what the reason is. And I didn't know how to go about it, but I just kind of took that step of faith and submission to that, for me, apparently negative circumstance. It turned out to be one of the greatest blessings in my life to be able to impact some of these young people. Some of them are here. Some of you are friends of theirs, relative of theirs, that got invited. Somebody that through that experience, many people that are part of our church are here because of that and through that. And I take zero credit. I mean, I didn't even want to be there. So I share that to let you know that if you are in one of those situations, if you have people around you, you're like, man, I don't understand what's going on. I don't want this. I don't want that. We're probably just fighting God trying to tell you something. And the answer is you need to submit. And you need to ask for direction and clarity. If you lack wisdom, ask it of God. God doesn't want you to be confused, feeling stuck. That's not God's desire for our life as Christians, as his children. He wants us, I believe, to thrive spiritually, to understand that we are his holy chosen people, his children, and that during the time that we have here on earth, whether it's 20, 40, or 100 years, he wants us to be productive and fruitful. So just kind of keep that in mind, because these news were of great joy because they were from God. And I love the fact, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I love the fact that these shepherds are just kind of minding their own business. And I think they were special people. I don't think they were just random shepherds, because they obviously cared. They knew about the Messiah. They were expecting, you know. And so when they, first the angel appears, says that they were greatly afraid. And that's a whole message in itself. But I bet that there are situations in your life through which you are afraid. You're scared to step into this. You're scared to explore that. And it just may very well be God saying, this is where I am. You got to get out of the boat where the waves are. But as long as you don't, you're just going to stay stuck. You're going to feel confused, and you're going to feel unproductive, or you're going to be unproductive as a Christian. And we don't want that for anybody here at Crosspoint, beloved. That's what we're here for, to study, to be encouraged, not by me speaking these, you know, nice words to you, but getting into the word and saying, look at these shepherds, we're scared. They could have run off. They could have reacted in so many different ways, but they didn't. They submitted to that. So keep that in mind. The news are of great joy because they are from God. And beloved, God is speaking to you. Second point is that the news are of great joy because they are for all people. I love that. So as the angel said to them, and the angel was speaking in behalf of God, that was point number one. He says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. For all the people. And I think that's great news, beloved. God didn't go around choosing the elite. God didn't go choosing a certain race. God didn't. And by the way, there's only one race, which is a human race, but he didn't go around picking ethnicities and, you know, people from certain countries and the cream of the crop. In fact, Paul in Corinthians says, look around. He says, look around, and you're going to realize not that many wise, not that many wealthy, not that many outstanding people, but God chose us. God chose us to demonstrate his grace and his wisdom, that through our weakness and our shortcomings, he is glorified. We become examples of his grace. But these news were for all people. And I think that's great news, because I'm included in that. When the angel said good news for all people, there was Mike in God's mind. 2,000 years later, Mike would hear the message of salvation, that a Savior was born. I love that, and I'm grateful for that. It is for all people. 2 Peter 3:9 says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's desire is for all to come to repentance. You know, the Lord Jesus wept over Jerusalem and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets, how many times have I longed to just kind of take you all in? But you wouldn't. God's heart, God's desire is for all people, beloved. And we fall into that, but get this, so does everybody that you know. Every single person that you know, it is God's desire that they would come to repentance. And I think that's great news, not just for us because we see ourselves in that promise or in those good news, but everybody around us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is not a respecter of people. He doesn't discriminate based on anything. He is pleased in saving the lowly. And by the way, we're all lowly. We are all lowly. We're the ones that are silly enough to think like, oh, that person's a real sinner. And that, I don't think that person will ever come to church because they're like real sinners. So are you, so am I. It's only by God's grace. So it's good news for all people. Let me jump to a third point. The news are of great joy because they are from God for all people. And point number three, the good news are for salvation. Are for salvation. He says, the angel says, these news that I'm about to share with you are of great joy. They're for all people. And what is the great news? Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Beloved, the greatest news are news for salvation. That is the gospel message. We're so happy that Randy Shepherd was able to come last week. And we had these basketball clinics, and I consider Randy Shepherd and people like him very special individuals among us. And Paul says, you know, people like Epaphroditus, who almost died, you know, trying to serve me, and he says, uphold these people. Look at these people in high regard. And I believe, for me, it's such an honor to know somebody like Randy Shepherd, who has dedicated his life to sharing the good news of salvation to everyone. I don't know if you follow him on Instagram. You should, because very few people inspire me and challenge me as much as he does. Almost every day he posts things, and it doesn't matter where he goes, he'll take a picture, a selfie with somebody, you know, the waiter at the restaurant, the nurse in the hospital. I mean, he's just incredible. I love him for that. And like I said, not only do I see them and be like, oh, that's good for him, but I'm thinking like, whoa, that I need to be more vocal and more intentional about sharing my faith, because they are the greatest news ever, and they're news of salvation. And beloved, we can't forget. And I want to be intentional about letting you know this, that here at Crosspoint, it's all about the gospel. And it has to be about the gospel. And we should never feel like, oh, I already know the gospel. Let's move on to the real good stuff, like I mentioned a while back, right? I think I got that from Vodi Bakum, who says that. We make a mistake when we feel like we're well-versed in the gospel, and now we want the real juicy stuff. It's all the gospel, beloved. What the world needs is the gospel, the good news of salvation. And I know there's a lot of preachers out there and smooth talkers that talk about wealth and prosperity and, you know, health and wellness, and you know, they make you feel really good. And you know, I like listening to this person because every time I hear it, I feel so good. And it's like, you know, you don't need to feel good. You need to know you're right with God. You need to know that you've been reconciled with him, because that's really where you're going to find the true happiness, true joy, true security, true peace. When you know that Jesus is your Savior, that changes everything. Then no matter what comes, Jesus is my Savior. I belong to Him. I've been bought with the price of His blood and His life, and He has forgiven me. He paid that great price. I belong to Him. When that becomes a reality in your life, that changes everything. Your perspective is completely different, and I'm grateful for that. And so, yeah, we're about the gospel. It's about reading the word. It's about understanding God's goodness, God's grace. And through that understanding, us being built up and encouraged, we're going to get to the point. Listen to this. Don't get scared. If you seek the Lord with all your heart, and you grow in your faith through the knowledge of His Son, through the word, you're not going to be able to help it but share the message of salvation with people. It's going to be a natural thing. You're going to be so in love with the Lord that you're not going to be able to help but speak of Him. Just like your favorite movie or your favorite show or your favorite this or your favorite that. You talk to people like, oh, have you? Like, no, really? Imagine us really being in love with the Lord and just feeling like I have to share this message. And then people will ask you, like, what'd you do this weekend? Oh, I went to church and I heard this. Oh, okay. What did you do last week? I went to church. What'd you do this morning? I was reading the Bible. And some people are going to be like, I Bible thumper. I don't want to hang out with you anymore or whatever. And that's fine. But we got to get to the point where we're so in love with the Lord. And this message of salvation, these great news that bring joy in our lives, are such a reality in our lives that we can't help but radiate that joy. Like, people should literally be asking us, why are you so joyful? That's how they're going to tell you. Why are you so joyful? Because they're going to be jealous. What? Didn't this terrible thing just happen to you? Yeah. Well, aren't you going through this very difficult, weird? Yeah, I am. But nothing can steal my joy. I read a quote this morning, and it said something like, don't place your joy in something that can be taken away from you. Oh, very wise. I mean, think about what brings you joy. And if that's some kind of temporary thing, you're in trouble. But if what brings you joy is a knowledge of being saved and being reconciled with God, and beloved, you know, I don't mean to sound negative, but we have to understand that you and I deserve eternal condemnation, separation from God because of our sin, period. All of us did. And it is only by His grace that we've gone from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His light, by God's grace. He takes the glory. That has to be primary. Everything else also falls into place. God knows what you need. And in Matthew 6, the Lord said it. You know, but the Gentiles worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, where you're going to live, all these basic things. He says, seek ye first, in verse 33, chapter 6 of Matthew, you should first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then everything else will be added to you. God knows what you need before you even ask it. Before you realize you need it, God already knows. What He wants is what He's always said from the beginning. You should have no other gods before Me. You shall love the Lord with all your heart. God says, I need to be your priority. I need to be your everything. And out of that reality and out of that relationship, He will take care of you. He is your Father. He is your shepherd. He is your provider. He's your protector. You don't have to worry about all those things. He knows we need those things, and He will provide them. But our priority needs to be our relationship with Him. And that relationship comes through salvation, which we all needed. So the news are of great joy because they're from God, they're for all people, and they are of or for salvation. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So we use that for the second point, which is for all people. And then the last part of that verse says that whoever believes in Him should not perish or be eternally condemned, but have everlasting life. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, said Paul. That is why He came. He came into this world to save sinners. And then John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Children of God. You know, there's this lie out there that we're all children of God. And God is good. He's not going to send any of his children to hell. Like, well, you're not reading the Bible. In John 1, it says that he came unto his own, but his own received him not. They rejected him. They crucified him. His very own people. But he says, but to those who received him, those who heard the gospel message, those who acknowledge the fact that they're spiritually bankrupt and that Jesus is the only way for salvation, for those people who received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Well, what were we before if we had to become children of God? Isn't that plain? We became children of God. What Jesus says to the Pharisees and the religious leaders, you are of your father, what? The devil. There's only two families on earth. And until you become a child of God through receiving him, Jesus, the only Savior, your daddy is somebody else. So we rejoice in that. We rejoice in the fact that these news that the angel in behalf of God gave to these shepherds is news of great joy because they are from God. And God is speaking to you. He's speaking to us. It's for all people, and there we're included, but so is everybody else that you know, and they are news for salvation. I know we all feel like we have these needs, right? Like some of us need a car. Some of us need a place to stay. Some of us need better health. Some of us need better finances. Some of us need all these other things that are necessary. But we need to remember that our greatest need has been met by God's love through Jesus, and specifically through what he did at the cross for us. The blood of his cross allows reconciliation and forgiveness and therefore salvation. I told you that the best news that I ever receive, I tend to receive, are news of people saying like, Mike, man, you know, I understand the gospel message. I realize I'm a wretched sinner, spiritually bankrupt, and that Jesus Christ is my only hope because he's the only Savior. And we don't, let me say this, you know, we don't want no elephants in the room or anything like that. We tend not to do altar calls, right? And sometimes people will ask me, like, how come you don't do an altar call? I'll let you know that the invitation is always open. I believe that salvation has to do with an individual relationship with God, that God will speak to you individually. You're going to be sitting there, or you're going to be sitting in your car listening to a message, God's word. You're going to be sitting somewhere or standing. You don't have to be sitting. God's going to speak to you, whether it's a song that's biblically sound or whether it's a preacher somewhere. It's going to be here on a Sunday morning where you're paying attention and you know that God is speaking to you and he's letting you know of your desperate need for salvation. Where when somebody like Randy asks a question, do you know what would happen to you if you were to die today? If you were to die today, do you know where you're going to go? If you were standing in the presence of God and he asked you, why should I let you into heaven? Do you know what you're going to say? Do you live with the certainty of having your sins forgiven? And by God's grace, the Bible teaches us that we can be certain of our salvation. We can be sure that to be absent of this body is to be present with the Lord. Not because of what we are, who we are, because of who Jesus is and what he did for us. And so the invitation is always open, beloved. But I believe that it's something that God is going to do in your heart. And I'm not necessarily against making invitations, but I do shy away from that for those reasons. I don't want to give anybody a false impression of what God may or may not be doing. Can somebody be born again, through an altar call when they heard the message? Absolutely. Is that the norm in the Bible? No. But I also don't want anybody to feel like you don't have an opportunity to. I'm always open. The elders are here. If you go to growth group, ask questions. But ultimately, God is going to speak to you. You're going to know he's speaking to you. How is he going to do that? He's going to let you know that you are a rotten sinner that needs to be saved. And then you're going to hear the gospel that somebody's going to tell you that the only one that could forgive you of your sins is God through what Jesus did at the cross, and that you accept that by faith, and that it's not anything that you can do or merit or deserve, but you simply surrender to God and say, Lord, I am a rotten sinner, and I'm sorry, and I ask for forgiveness based on what Jesus did for me at the cross. And I receive that message. I receive you, Lord, as my Lord and my Savior. And I thank you for that. And you don't have to repeat my prayer. If that works that for you and you need some direction and some, of course. But I know that God is going to do a work in your heart. Be aware of that. Recognize that. Surrender to him. Ask him for guidance and for clarity. He's not hiding from you. He wants you to seek him with all your heart. He promises that he will reveal himself to you. And when you know that he's doing a work in you, be in fellowship so that you could ask questions. You're not going to know everything right away, but you're going to know that you are a new person in Christ. And that is what makes you a Christian. The Holy Spirit living in you. And you're going to begin to see him, the Holy Spirit, live out in your life. You're going to see the fruit of the Spirit. And that's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. And you're going to realize, goodness, where did that come from? I hardly recognize myself. I still see the same person in the mirror, but it's not the same me. And then we say, well, praise God for that. That's God doing a work in your life. And that's where you begin to be a disciple. Like you get into the word and you make sure that you're understanding what who God is and what he offers. And you grow in fellowship. That's what Crosspoint is about. And that's what the offer is for you. So if you've never made that decision to surrender your life to Christ, the Apostle Paul says, we plead, we beg people to reconsider and realize that your only hope for all eternity to escape condemnation and to enjoy a relationship with God, not just in eternity, but now, is found only through Christ. As we accept who he is and what he's done for us. And so my encouragement to you is, boy, if you're not sure of your salvation, there's nothing more important than that. Get on your knees, ask the Lord, have I just been religious all this time? Have I just been playing church all this time, Lord? I don't see any change in my life. I want to experience this. And when you do, by the way, you're going to know it. You're not going to be a new creature in Christ and not know it. You're going to know it. And then you want to tell people about it. And then we want to get you baptized so you can publicly declare to the world that you belong to Jesus. And we give him all the honor and glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to you for allowing us this time. Thank you for your word and thank you for these wonderful news of salvation. Father, we read in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified together with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We recognize that you're speaking to us all the time. We pray for forgiveness for the things that we've just turned a deaf ear or kind of turned away from you. Help us to recognize how it is that you're speaking to us. We realize, Father, we're grateful that your good news of salvation is for all people, and we fall into that, but so do everybody around us. Help us to be vocal and intentional about sharing those news, inviting people to church, inviting people to Christ, to have Bible studies. Help us. And Father, we're grateful that these great news are great news because they are of salvation. Our greatest need has been met through Jesus at the cross for us. We pray that this would be a reality in our lives that would motivate us to live a godly life for your glory, Father, all the days of our lives, everywhere where we are, in our public and private life. We want to be people of integrity for you. So I thank you for all my brothers and sisters. I ask that you would dismiss us with your blessing. And I pray especially for those hearing this gospel message, these news of salvation. I pray, Holy Spirit, and I trust in your power and your work through your word that you would do a saving work in people here and a transforming work in all of our lives. We pray in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. Amen. Beloved, you are dismissed. God bless you.